right, Psalm 86 tonight. Psalm 86, if you all will turn there. And we'll get started by reading it. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen up against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. All right, so it's kind of not a short one, not necessarily a long one. And one of the things about this psalm that's kind of different is that it's sort of an amalgamation of a lot of different, I'm sure I said that word wrong, Adam, so you can tell me later. It's sort of a mashup of lots of other psalms that David wrote. I think, you know, he probably had some of these recurring themes in his life and recurring themes in his heart. So there's a lot of stuff here, that a lot of phrases that you can find all over the psalms that David have written. And what I really think David is doing here is I think that David is praying. If you look at the last verse, he's praying for God to do something, for God to show up and do something that other people will be able to see and know that it was God that did it. He's praying for a token. He's praying for something that those people that don't believe in God can see it and know that God was with David and know that God was the one that did it. He's praying for some big things here, okay? Adam and I went to a meeting this week. We got to be about half of it, and the theme of the meeting was the God of the impossible, and they had verses and quotes on the wall about how God can do anything, and we sang a bunch of songs about the impossible, old songs like Only Believe, Only Believe. They gave us this piece of paper to write down impossible prayer requests, and then we were supposed to edit it and I guess throw it on a fire or something if we were there tonight. We're not there tonight, though. So, but the theme was the God of the impossible. And how many of you had some impossible prayer requests? Or how many of you would like to see God do some impossible things, humanly impossible things? All right. I think if the only thing we expect God to do are things that we can do in our flesh, we can do in our human strength, we're not thinking enough. We're not trying enough. God wants to do more than that, okay? I have some prayer requests. I have some things I want to see God do here that are impossible things, all right? We're at a space now, at least on Sunday mornings, where we're pretty much out of space, and we got to do something about it. And I mentioned the chairs thing. That's just a Band-Aid. All right. Even if that happens and our church continues to grow, that's not going to last very long. We need a new building. All right. And we need some land, and we need, like mentioned, a van for the bus ministry. And I'm looking out here, and I'm seeing all you, and I'm not seeing any millionaires. It's some impossible. There's some impossible things there, okay? At least humanly impossible things, and that's just physical stuff. That, you know, spiritual prayer requests. I would love to see us get to the point where people are getting saved every week, okay? Where people's lives are being changed. Those things are humanly impossible. I can't do it. You can't do it. But God can do it, all right? And we have to believe him for it. I want to see God do some things here, you know, that are impossible things. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." If you think about those words, you're familiar with those verses. It says, unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Do you know what exceedingly means? It means more than you think, more than you need. Do you know what abundantly means? It means more than you need. You know what above means? You get it, right? All right. What Paul is saying is that God can do more. I mean, more than we can even think or ask for. I mean, we can't even, you know, wrap our tiny little heads. The things that we think are huge requests, God can do so much more than that. Okay? But it has to be according to his power and not our power. And it has to be for his glory and not our glory. Okay? God doesn't do things. God doesn't work these miracles out so that you and I look good. So that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, look at what we did. Look at what we built. Jesus has to do it for his glory by his power. All right? And another point there, at the end of that verse, it says, world without end. Jesus didn't stop. His power is not stopped. He can still do amazing things. All right? Now, back in our text here, back in Psalm 86. As I was reading this, I think what David is doing here is he's praying. And David, when he prayed, he didn't just, you know, give a litany of requests. He gave God a reason why he thinks God should answer his request. He brought an argument before God. And that's something that we should learn, you know. When we're really praying for something, sometimes it helps to, you know, let God know we're serious if we bring an argument before him. Okay? Bring our case. How many of you, your kids, have ever come up to you and asked for something? And they don't just say, Dad, I want a bike or I want a whatever, phone, iPod. Never going to happen, kids. Just stop it. All right? But they have these ideas and they don't just bring a request. They bring a case. They say, I want that iPod because it'll fit my purse. And, you know, and I'm like, no, it's not working. Okay? But when we bring our prayer request to God, we need to bring some reason sometime and really cry out from our heart. And 8 times here in this psalm, David gives a reason using the word for, F-O-R. It's repeated 8 times. He asks for something, and then he says for. And that's just a preposition that's showing the reason why he thinks God should do that thing. So we're going to look at them. You can break them up into 2 groups. There's 4 of these pleas that are based on his character. And then there's 4 of these pleas that are based on God's character. So look at the first one. Look at verse 1. He says, Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for, what's it say? I'm poor and needy. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Okay? The first plea that he had is he said, God, listen to me because I'm humble. Listen to me because I need you. God is not interested in listening to our prayers when we're, you know, strutting, when we're the cock of the walk, you know? He doesn't care. That's not what God wants. God wants us to bring some humility towards him. And when we come to him in humility, he'll answer us. Look at the second thing. Verse 2, he says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save the servant that trusteth in thee. So he's saying, listen, God, I'm trying to live a holy life. I'm trying to stay separate from the things of this world. And I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I'm relying on you. Please, you fulfill your promises. You stand up to your end of the bargain. All right? Sometimes it's okay to remind God of that. Sometimes God will remind us how we're not holy and point to different things in our life. Okay? But if you're living for the Lord and you want God to answer your prayers, it's not a wrong thing to remind him of. Look at the third thing. He says, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. David's saying, God, I pray to you every day. I'm in your word every day. It's an everyday thing. Okay? And then he says in verse 4, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift my soul. He's wanting God to be his satisfaction and answer his prayers. And listen, on our side, when we're bringing our prayers to God, it helps if we come to God humbly. And it helps if we are living for him. And it helps if we're reading our Bible and we're praying to him every day. And it helps if we are looking to Jesus and looking to God for our satisfaction. And David was doing those things, asking God for something amazing here. But notice that it wasn't just David's character that he was using as our plea. You know, my character, okay, it doesn't mean that much to God. And it's a limited resource. I can talk about the things that I do, and I'm going to run out of things to say very, very quickly, okay? Because most of the Christian life is by grace. It's all by grace, really, all right? And really, my dependence is not on my character. My dependence is on God's character, and praise the Lord for that. Because if it depended on me or depended on you, we wouldn't get very far, would we? If I had to be 100% good and have all these wonderful things in my life for God to answer my prayers, most of my prayers would bounce off the ceiling. All right? But David reminds God about God's character. Look at verse 5. He says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Isn't that a good thing to be reminded of? God is good. God's not out to get us. God's not out to hurt us. All right? Sometimes when we pray, we're as much reminding ourselves of these things as we are reminding God of these things. Look at verse 7. He says, in the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All right? He knows from the character of God that God is a God that answers prayer and does amazing things. And maybe it's a good thing for us to be reminded of those things sometimes. Look at the next thing, verse 10. He says, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Okay? God is the real God. God is the one that's great. God can do amazing, wonderful things. And sometimes we should remind ourselves of that and remind God of that in prayer, because maybe the things that we're praying for and asking for would get a little bit bigger if we remember that we're praying to a great God that can do wondrous things. Last thing here, verse 13, he reminds God of his great mercy towards him and how he's delivered my soul from the lowest hell. You know, in our prayer sometimes, maybe it's a good thing for us to remind God about our salvation and how God was so merciful and gracious to us in delivering us from hell, delivering us from Satan, okay? That's a good thing for us to be reminded of and remind us that we are his child, okay? So David was praying for some big things here, and he brought his own character before the Lord, but mostly he dwelt on God's character, all right? We ought to do the same thing. We ought to be praying for some big things, big prayer requests, things that might be humanly impossible, but all things are possible with God, okay? With God, nothing is impossible. And it does us good to be reminded of that and to know that God wants to show himself strong in our life and God wants to do great things through us, all right? Psalm 86. We'll look at Psalm 87 next week, all right? Let's take...